Hey, welcome to the podcast. I am Joel here with Dan.
And I'm Rick. What do you want to talk about today, Joel?
Well, I want to continue a little bit of shameless self-promotion. We've been talking about my new book coming out May 21st. I still don't have my copies as of recording this, but this is what the cover looks like. It's called Keep It Light, The Freedom of Priorities in Life, Work, and Love. And it's just about the idea that if the burden of life seems too heavy to carry, then there's a good chance you're carrying something you weren't meant to carry. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That idea of a yoke is that when you link up with him, two oxen carry a yoke together, they carry the weight together. But that's the key. You have a burden to carry. There's a responsibility we're called to carry. That's what gives life meaning and purpose. But if it feels too heavy, there's a good chance you're getting out of sync with what Jesus intends. Maybe you're running ahead and you're carrying more of the weight. As you're linked up with him, though, he carries that weight with you. So you finally got to read a little bit of the book. Let's talk about chapter two, which is specifically called Priorities. What was your first take on that?
Well, I thought it was very, very interesting. One of the things I think that you mentioned in there that I thought many times people may not think about is that seasons change, and when seasons change, priorities need to change too. Because I think sometimes when we're young, we feel like we've got our life mapped out. There's all that talk about what's your 10-year vision, what's your 20-year vision. Well, what are you going to be in 25 years? And it's like, oh my goodness, what are you going to be tomorrow? And so I think that's an interesting thing to talk about, the idea that sometimes your values need to change. Sometimes with changes in life and seasons of life, definitely your priorities need to change. So what about that? I thought that was interesting.
Well, I mean, that was what triggered this whole book was when I found out our daughter Elise was going to be born. I think that's every dad's kind of like, we're excited, but we're like, what's this going to take? How much does a kid cost? What's this going to require of me? And I think a lot of times we think we can keep up the pace we were going beforehand when a new value shows up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. We just, I hear people oftentimes saying, oh, I'm pregnant, I'm going to have a baby, but I'm going to keep working. I just kind of smile and go, we'll see.
And look, a lot of people are very strong and they can do that for a while, but eventually it catches up to them and they go, oh my gosh, I can't take this anymore. And the way it worked out for us was, I had been doing outdoor adventures, and at that time I was doing probably six of them a year, which had me away from home, probably two months. With Emily and me, it's like, whatever. She's like, go as long as you want. I remember sometimes she didn't even know where I was gone to, and she'd have to look on my website to figure out where I was. So,
she trusts you.
Poor communication. Yeah. One time she's like, I haven't heard from Joel in like 5 days. And she looked on the website. She's like, oh, I guess they're in the Grand Canyon. I guess the phone doesn't work down there or something. I had told her all this, but
Yeah. So I can relate to Emily very much. Yeah.
Well, so what happened is, I realized I couldn't be gone as much. So I shifted away from the outdoor adventures into the leadership coaching, and the business was booming. I had gotten a lot of professional coaching on how to launch a business. I was following just about a little bit of what he said, and the business was taking off. I mean, we were making more money than we had ever made in our life. I was pumped. And I remember one Monday we're walking Elise in her stroller around a park, and I was like, isn't this amazing, Emily? Like, it's Monday morning. Nobody's telling me where I have to be. We've got money in the bank. Isn't this incredible? This is the life. And she was just kind of quiet. And I was like, don't you think this is the life? And I remember she's like, yeah, maybe for you. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, I feel kind of abandoned. I think she said, I'm drowning over here. And I remember going, excuse me? What? Like, I did all this for you, you know? And she was like, well, you kind of did it for me, but you kind of did it for you too. And you were freaking out about money, and you've got the money. She's like, but you're working all the time. This is very tricky because I was working from home. So I'm like, I'm home. So it's very hard to distinguish what's work and what's home. And that's what made me, this kind of woke me up to the fact that one of the quickest ways to figure out if something is out of balance is if your relationships are struggling because of it. And that's where, I mean, that's the heart of this whole book, is that God says there's two things that are super important. First thing is me. God says, make sure I'm first. And the second is people. Love God, love people. And there's a connection between how you love people and how you love God. God says, don't say you love me if you don't love people. So there's this connection between it. And we can tell really, the easiest way to tell something's out of balance in your life is when there's conflict in relationships around you. There's a good chance something's out of line in terms of that. I mean, the first story of relational conflict we have in the Bible between humans was not between Adam and Eve. It was between their sons, Cain and Abel. Cain they both bring a sacrifice. Cain's sacrifice gets rejected by God. God says to Cain, hey, and Cain gets mad. He's like, well, you know, you accepted my brother's sacrifice. Why didn't you sacrifice accept mine? And God says to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? If you do well, it will go well for you. If you do not, sin is crouching at your door, but you must rule over it. He basically, that word sin, the Greek word hamartia, the Hebrew word is chata. It means, it's an archery term. It means to miss the target. God's basically saying to Cain, you aimed at something I don't really care about. Yeah. Like you sacrificed for me, but I don't care about that. I want what I want from the sacrifice. And I think the powerful statement there is you can be really well-intentioned and make the wrong sacrifice in life. And if you make the wrong sacrifice, you don't get credit. It's not like God's like, I'm going to make everything go good for you because you're sacrificing.
Yeah, you gave it your best.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You've got to sacrifice what God says you've got to sacrifice in order to get what, you know, and you have to sacrifice something to, something always has to be sacrificed to make sure that we're putting the most important things first.
Yeah.
And because you can't do everything. You only have so much time, money, and energy. So something always has to be sacrificed, but we can make the wrong sacrifice. And that's, I think, the tension point for a lot of us. It's what do you value? And you find out what somebody values by looking at what they do, not what they say or think or feel. If you want to figure out what somebody values, they're like, I value. Well, why come you're never at home? Well, because I value taking care of you. Well, how's that? Well, I'm making money so that you can do what you want to do. So actually you value having money to give to me, not time with me. Right? And it's like, ouch, that hurts, but that's a reality. And that's where I think the priorities come in line is first got to figure out what you value. But you also got to figure out what's going to have to be sacrificed for what you value most.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's a great application. I've heard you share that before about Cain and Abel, and I had always gotten hung up on the, oh, now why did he not accept Cain's sacrifice and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah,
and
who knows?
The theology of it, you know.
There's all sorts of theories about why, yeah.
Yeah, but that's so practical because, you know, it's the old story of the guy who, you know, leaned his ladder up against a wall, climbing the ladder of success. When he got to the top, he realized he'd leaned it against the wrong wall. You know, he was a success in business, but his marriage had fallen apart. Yeah. He realized, I should have put the ladder up against that one and been building my marriage or, you know, whatever relationships, not just marriage, but all your relationships in your life. And so that's a great application of that, you know, and because it is so easy. Let me ask you this. Why do you think, okay, you live with her every day, you're talking all the time, you're spending time together, you know, but you missed it until that moment. Why do you think we can go through life just oblivious sometimes? And I don't know, maybe guys are worse than gals at it, or maybe, I don't know. But why do you think we can go through life just oblivious to the fact that we're totally missing it until crash something? Fortunately, that didn't hit a wall, but that's because she's real insightful.
Yeah.
And was able to point out the problem to you. Some of us, until our head bangs into a wall, we don't realize, duh, something's out of place here.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the easiest ways we miss it is that a lot of us are pretty darn strong. I mean, we can do a whole lot of stuff. And so you can keep, like we talked about in the last episode, you can keep throwing stuff in your backpack for a long time. And you're just like, well, I'll just shoulder it even more. I'm tough, you know? And then you keep pushing. But eventually you wake up and go, yeah, I can't do this anymore. And that's how marriages blow up.
Yeah.
Little things pile up. And then all of a sudden overnight, it's like, I don't know what happened. The marriage exploded overnight. It's like, no. It was what did they say? Somebody asked the guy, how did you go bankrupt? And he goes, very slowly and then very quickly. Yes. It started out very slowly, a bunch of littlest bad decisions. And then all of a sudden it was real quick.
Yeah. Compound interest caught up with me and boom.
But I think that's what it is. I think a lot of us, we're strong and we can handle a lot until we can't handle it anymore.
Well, see, in your case though, you were still doing good. You're just chucking along. It's all great, you know?
Well, and several areas of life, we were killing it. We had never made more money in our lives.
Yeah. But you weren't aware of the fact that, so she was overloaded, but it was a little different situation, you know? You mentioned she said she was like drowning or something. So, yeah, how do you pay attention to stuff like that? If you're doing great, how do you find out before? Because again, a lot of wives aren't as insightful into themselves as she is, you know?
Right. They just,
So how do you figure that out before she packs up and you wake up in the morning and then you see in the rain, what's that, rainy town in Georgia or whatever?
I don't know what that is.
It's an old Elvis Presley song where he's walking down this Kentucky road looking for a wife and he can't figure out why she left him. And he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have a car. He's hitchhiking. I'm going, dude, maybe that's why she left you. Anyway, it's a real neat song.
Oh.
Crazy. Okay.
All right. Nothing well, I mean, like in our case, again, it was, and that's one of the things about that target. Unfortunately, you know, like God says you aimed at the wrong target.
Yeah.
It's a moving target.
True.
So in every season of life, it changes. And one of the challenges I think a lot of us make, us driven type A types, is we make some goals for ourselves early on. We talked about this in the last episode. We make some goals for ourselves early on, and then we hold ourselves to them without considering a whole bunch of new values that really deserve priority. Yeah. Wife, kids. And, you know, you can bring your wife along and y'all can kind of do your thing because you're adults, but a kid specifically is very dependent.
Yeah.
And takes a lot of energy if you're doing it right. A kid takes a lot of energy. If you just kind of throw them in your...
Yeah.
To do, you know,
some take more than others. Some are a little more high maintenance than others. People. Some kids are more high maintenance than other people. But
honestly, ours was an easy one, but it was still this new weight of life. And so I think that's what it is that it's a constantly moving target. And I mean, I go through this every year. We look at a couple things in our life every year. I mean, just I don't think I put this in the book, but... Every year, Emily and I kind of look at a couple things. One is her job. We've always said as soon as her job is more of a liability than it is an asset to ministry, because we're focused primarily on ministry.
Yeah.
You got to make a living. Her job brings great health insurance. But we say as soon as it becomes a liability where it's actually causing tension more than it's creating benefits for us, we'll drop it. And we evaluate that every January. And every January, I evaluate everything I'm doing. And a lot of times I'm going, is this necessary anymore? I used to write this blog and I was like, I mean, it's a small thing, but it was getting pretty good followership. And I was like, is this necessary? No, I literally shut down the whole website this year and off went 1200 blogs I had written over the last 12 years. But it was not serving the purpose anymore. It was becoming more of a burden and the technical aspect of it was becoming more of a burden. I was trying to figure out how to change stuff on the website and it was just complicated. And I think the goal is just how do you keep it light? How do you simplify anything in your life that's not, because stuff, it sneaks up on you. For example, I mean, here's a great example I just thought of, that blog, right?
Yeah.
When I started that blog, I was using this thing called WordPress, but I was slowly adding things to it, and it required a technical knowledge I never had, so I'd have to spend an hour searching how to do it, and I'd add things and add things and add things and add things, and now I felt like whenever I'd add something new, it would shift something else over here in the coding, and I'd spend all this time trying to And I was like, I need something simple. And so I stripped it down and I changed to another platform that's literally like cut and paste. Can I do massive amounts of integrations and stuff like that? No, but right now I don't need that. I need simple. I need what can get the job done as simply as possible so that I don't take more time than necessary. And really time is, I talk about that in one of the chapters in the book. Our greatest asset is not money, it's time. You can always make more money. You can't make more time. And so that's one of the things I think is key is evaluating every season. How do we, Antoine d'Exupéry, I think he put in one of the quotes in the book. He says, perfection is attained not when there's nothing more to add, but when there's nothing more to be taken away. And you never create simplicity by adding complexity to complexity. You only create simplicity by removing complexity from complexity and stripping it down. So,
You know, I think it was Steve Jobs or somebody said too about how simplicity is not easily attained because it's difficult to decide what you can remove.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking, like in that blog, I'm thinking, man, that would have been hard for me to let go of because I think, man, I've put so much into this. I've invested so much in it. I can't just give it up, you know? So I think that's a great lesson too, to realize, okay, you can't give it up. Well, it's dragging you down. But I made this anchor. I love it, but it's taking you to the bottom of the ocean. Let go of the thing. You
know? I crafted this with my own hands.
Yeah. But you're sinking under it. So let go of the thing.
Yeah. That's a great analogy.
What do you let go of? Yeah.
Yeah. And what to let go of? I wish I could tell you. One of the things I say in there is that, you know, Jesus, he says, look, I know you're worried about all this stuff that you need. Matthew 6:33, what you're going to eat, where you're going to live, what you're going to wear. But I'm telling you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that stuff will be added to you. He's basically saying, if you'll aim at me as your highest good, make sure I'm the top priority. I'll help you arrange things in such a way that you're provided for, but you're also getting what you really want in life. And that's the great challenge is... most of us, I think, the reason we run so frantic is we're afraid we're not going to have something we need, and we're responsible people. We want to provide for our family. It's not like you're being reckless. It's just you're thinking, if I can get more, I can give everything I want. But oftentimes it's the most counterintuitive thing, which is a lot of the kingdom upside down we live in. You get more by focusing more on the right thing and less of the other thing. So yeah. It seems like less, but it's actually more laser focus, which is actually the next chapter that we'll talk about. Focus. Yeah. How do you know what to focus on? But I think that's really the key is in every season, you've got to look and go, what's the priority right now? And it changes.
Yeah.
And you see, when we get in trouble, when we hang on to old priorities in new seasons, I see, here's a classic example. I had a parent the other day talking about, how her daughter is like just cutting her off and the challenges she had been too involved in her daughter's life after the daughter left. And so the daughter's like creating what she calls a boundary. It's really just cutting her mom off. But the mom was trying to stay in the same role she was as the, you know, helicopter parent or whatever they call it. But when the kid gets older, they have to have the freedom to go and their relationship shifts.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard for a mom. She's like, well, what do I do with my life now? I've been dedicated to raising these kids. And when the kids leave the house, a priority has to change.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons it's so important in, you know, in a relationship that you focus on husband and wife first before the kids, because it's easy for them to become a barrier between you, and you don't realize your relationship between your spouse is falling apart. And, you know, one of the other things, just to kind of, I think, to wrap it up with you, you mentioned that you evaluate every year in January based upon ministry. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people go, well, I'm not a ministry, but you are, you know, and I think that's, because that's the seeking first the kingdom of God. The deal was, okay, this job may produce a lot of money, but my goal is not money. My primary thing is not money. This goal may produce, this may produce great benefits, or it may produce whatever, but that's not my goal. And so that seeking first the kingdom means that whatever the ministry God has given you, whatever it may be you're doing, you may be plumbing, you may be planting flowers and landscaping, but it's all about ministry, and seeking first that kingdom is what's going to help you get everything in order. Seeking first, is this what God wants me to do? And if so, then all the rest will take care of itself.
Thanks for listening. Please consider sharing this with your friends on the platform of your choice. For more from Joel Malm, visit joelmalm.com. For more from Rick Malm, visit rickmalm.com. Our podcast music was produced by Alex Burleson.